This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wolfpack does not play again until Friday afternoon. They'll get the winner of tonight's Vanderbilt-Stanford game. All right? So that's the deal. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on Sirius XM 371 as well. A number of guests coming up. Frank Cignetti makes his debut coming up here in about 7 or 8 minutes from Boston College, and they're going to be throwing it all over the yard and scoring a ton of points. Like what they're doing up there, Chestnut Hill. And at the bottom of the hour, making his debut as well, is your head football coach of your Virginia Tech Hokies. That'd be Justin Fuente. So we'll have some fun with food coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we look forward to both of those gentlemen joining the program.
Absolutely. Tough night, you mentioned, for Virginia last night. Cavaliers looked to be in control with Griff McGarry through seven frames. Got into the eighth, and boy, the curves hit. A walk to start the inning and then a home run. And then all of a sudden, things really started to unravel once they got into the Virginia bullpen. 6-5 the final last night. Virginia led 4-0 entering the eighth behind a marvelous effort from McGarry, who went 7 1/3 of no-hit ball. Two earned runs, struck out 8. Kellum Clark homered, then Tanner Allen homered. And the next thing you know, Mississippi State was in the driver's seat. Newell did add a home run, but Virginia couldn't find another one to draw even before it ended last night in Omaha. So the Cavaliers fall into a loser's bracket game against Texas tomorrow night, 7 o'clock on ESPN2. The Longhorns got there because they blasted Tennessee yesterday. 8-4 was the final. And as Danny Graves said, Texas and Tennessee had a lot of – man, that had a lot of flammable in it, didn't it, Pack? Especially about the fourth inning yesterday. We had an assistant run. We had a lot of things going on. And somebody had to take control of the game, and the Horns did in the last, four innings and change.
Well, Tanner Witt came out of the pen for Texas. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday on our abbreviated off-campus show. He was fantastic. And again, it's all about pitching and just shutting people down. And Texas fell behind twice, came back, tied it up, took the lead in the fourth, and just buried Tennessee from that point forward. Again, great year for the Vols. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're sitting at home watching everybody else. Texas is the number two national seed. So Virginia, that's why last night was such a tough loss. You win that game in, you're cruising till Friday, let everybody go beat their brains in trying to figure out who's going to get there. But it's uphill climb, but Virginia's been there, done that, right? We saw this in Columbia in the regional where they lost the first game and they battled back and won that. We saw it in the super regional, lost the first game to Dallas Baptist, battled back and won it. Now they're going to have to do it again, and they're going to take on number two Texas, as you mentioned, Thursday night. And if you win that one, then Mississippi State awaits you on Friday night. So NC State, Mississippi State, really in the driver's seat right now in their two respective brackets at 2-0, chilling out till Friday. Wolfpack plays in the afternoon on Friday. And again, hopefully Virginia can take care of business and knock off Texas and go right back after Mississippi State again Friday night. So that's the path we've got right now in the ACC in Omaha as we move forward.
Yep, NC State waiting on that Vanderbilt-Stanford game. That's tonight, 7 o'clock as well, over on ESPN2's coverage continues from Omaha at the College World Series. Griff McGarry was fantastic last night for Virginia, continuing his strong postseason performance. And before we get to Coach Cignetti, let's see if we can run the cut from Griff McGarry last night talking about his success in the postseason.
Yeah, I think definitely just a lot of hard work. You know, my coaches, Coach Oak and Coach Drew, instilling confidence in me, you know, even when I was struggling, you know, throughout the season. You know, there's been a few slight mechanical changes, you know, working a little bit more downhill with my front shoulder. And that's something Coach Drew and I have been working on a lot over the past few months. And, yeah, I think just, you know, the biggest thing for me is my teammates and my coaches still believing in me, you know, despite not having success. And I think that goes to say a lot about our program, you know, a lot about the guys I'm playing with and the people that I'm playing for.
Wes, I know he's really, really disappointed. Number one, that the team didn't win. That's the first thing. You know it. But I'll tell you one thing. Old Griff McGarry made him some cash in this tournament. And You know, we're going to have the draft coming up. Yeah. And let me tell you something. He has been fantastic in the postseason and truly was unhittable last night going into the eighth inning. And Mississippi State's a really, really good baseball team. And they had no idea how to handle him until the eighth inning, and they finally got to him. But in an incredible effort. It's a shame there wasn't a W at the end of the night for Virginia. They really, really played well. But that eighth inning came back and got them. And again, so many opportunities leading into the eighth. They could have stretched that lead from 4-0 to whatever. Did get the job done. But they're not done yet. They got Texas Thursday night. We'll see how it plays out.
You heard McGarry mention Coach Drew. That's Drew Dickinson, who is the second-year pitching coach at Virginia. He replaced Carl Kuhn, who's now the head baseball coach at Radford. Brian O'Connor's been very fortunate. Kevin McMullen's been with him all 18 years. Carl Kuhn was with him 16 years on that staff at UVA, and now Drew Dickinson's come in and helped just continue the success Virginia's had with pitching, especially here in the postseason for Griff McGarry.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
So Brother Fuller is sound asleep, Chester is knocked out in the Roger Goodell green room chair. The boys are just, they're out, man. We got some pasta this morning about 4 a.m. They're fat and happy. They're good. They're ready to roll.
Pasta at 4 a.m.?
Yeah, Mrs. P. Yeah, because Mrs. P is not in town, so I'm going solo. And I found some cold pasta in there from a day or so ago, and I was like, man, that's perfect breakfast food at 4 a.m. And the boys love them some noodles. Love them some noodles, Wes. That's what we do.
All right. Let's go live. Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. Frank Cignetti Jr. is the offensive coordinator at Boston College. And given the restrictions and the kind of the handcuffs on putting a football team on the field last fall, I'd say the Eagles got A++. And now we're coach getting back toward normal. So I can't think of anybody more than football staffs that are excited for the 21 campaign. And you guys were able to have a pretty productive spring. And welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here with you guys.
So what about this club now? Listen, you got Wes and I last year when we were breaking down BC, you got this new football coach in Halfley. We got this new regime rolling in there. And, man, we're looking at big offensive line, those big backs. I said, hey, here we go. BC going to line up, just shove it down your throat. Man, we watch you guys from day one. You're throwing it all over the yard. It's like, who are these guys? You, in a really short period of time, you have completely transformed Boston College football.
Well, I tell you what, it all starts with Coach Halfley. You know, he's a tremendous leader. He's a tremendous person. He's building such a positive culture here at Boston College. He's got love in his heart. Everything is about putting the players in a position to be successful on and off the field. You know, offensively, we have a tremendous group of guys to coach. We got a tremendous coaching staff on offense. We have years of experience coming from the National Football League. So when you take a look at what we're doing on offense, it's a National Football League system, and we want to make sure that we're putting all our players in a position to be successful. So when we took a look at our players, the offensive line, the perimeter that we had and that we have coming back, and then getting the quarterback in the portal, you know, we were able to play wide open. And the beautiful thing about Phil was not only could he play in the pocket and work through his progressions, but then when the progression broke down, he could extend plays and the explosive plays just showed up.
So, Coach, did he surprise you once you got going, or did you have an idea that he could have this kind of success in his first year with the Eagles?
Well, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, and Phil's from Pittsburgh. We're from the same area back there, Pine Richland. It's a great football area. Phil was a tremendous high school player, so I had a pretty good feel for his athletic background, his competitiveness, his toughness. Phil is a winner. Football is very important to him. So when he came into the program, we knew that we had a guy that had a chance to be a special quarterback. What we needed to do was obviously coach him up, the fundamentals and technique, get him acclimated into our system. And really, not until we played Duke the first game did we know that, okay, we have a guy. We got a guy that when he steps across those white lines, he is a winner. He is a ball player, and he is a leader. And really, as a play caller, it made it easier for myself to call passes because you knew that he would work through the progressions, find the open receivers, and if it broke down, he'd extend plays.
Coach, one of the things that was so impressive about BC, before we even saw you guys take the first snap, was that we're going through a pandemic, and we had the COVID testing going on, and you just didn't know who was playing, who was in, who was out. You just hoped to have games. I mean, there was just nothing that was guaranteed. But I think what you guys accomplished as a program, new coaching staff, players buying in, going through a pandemic, the fact that there wasn't the positive test at BC, it was incredible what you guys accomplished. And I can't emphasize that enough because that tells me that everybody was buying in to the top. And before you played the first game, in some respects, you had already won.
Yeah, I tell you, our players and coaches have done an unbelievable job buying into Coach Hafley's culture. I now understand why Boston College graduates are so successful on and off the field. Our guys are special. They are focused. They are determined to do the right thing on and off the field. This is a special place. And Coach Hafley is building a championship culture. It is more than just winning and losing on the field. It's about building trusting relationships, relationships that are going to last a lifetime. And there's exciting things happening here at Boston College.
Frank, I know you've had a lot of stops in the National Football League, great college level. When you look at where kind of this is going to year two, Mark and I have talked about Zay Flowers. We've talked about the offensive line in addition to Phil Jurkovec. Where is your expectation with this unit as we sit here in mid-June?
Well, we have high expectations. We talk about it every day as an offense. We are capable of greatness. We're going to take it one day at a time. The foundation of our success is our fundamentals and techniques. We have a great group of players. They are talented. They work hard. They pay attention to the details. They take it from the classroom to the practice field to the game field. Once again, it's all about us and us working towards being our best. But when we step on that field, we're very excited to get to training camp. We expect great things to happen.
I know this much. You had a tight end last year that the rest of America found out pretty quickly. Oh, Hunter Long, dude, this guy is a Sunday dude. I know you wish you had one more year with him or maybe four more years with him. You got so many weapons and the guy under center who can pull the trigger. But what about the tight end? Because I know that's always been a key component in your offense.
Yeah, you know, we're an NFL-style offense. 12 personnel, the tight ends are vital in our system. It creates an extra gap in the running game. In the passing game, you can create matchups on linebackers and safeties based on if a defense is going to play base or sub-defense. You know how to call the game to take advantage of it. You know, Hunter Long was a special player and a special guy. You know, he's a BC guy. These guys are special here. You know, they choose Boston College for the right reasons to be successful on and off the field. Football is a terminal experience, as we all know. You know, academics is for a lifetime. And Hunter Long is a great example of a Boston College guy. So talented, priorities in order, tremendous leader. It was just a pleasure to be around Hunter. And he fits our system, as all these tight ends do, so well.
Coach, I'm curious as to how this kind of evolves now, because with your NFL background and the variety of things you and Jeff can compare notes on offense to defense, the one thing, and I've had this discussion more often, I found it more often than I thought I would in this offseason, is how the NFL has kind of followed the college game here, where base defenses now have five in the secondary, it seems like. What are you seeing in the evolution of the defensive side of the ball that allows that flexibility you have offensively to take shape? What's the biggest challenge, I guess, when you're looking now at the 4-2-5 or the 3-3-5 alignments?
Well, here's what I've seen. You know, I've coached with six NFL teams. I've been very fortunate, very lucky. The NFL has taken some of the RPO game from college football and some of the quarterback runs. Other than that, The National Football League is still about running the football, run action passes, situational football, with, you know, whether it's third down situations, red zone, 2 minute. And, you know, Coach Hafley is running the program here just like the National Football League. And our offensive system and defensive systems are like the National Football League. What I see is we go into every week game planning. Who are we going to play? What do we have to beat? For instance, if we're going to put two tight ends on the field, how is that defense going to approach us? Are they going to be in base personnel, which means four down linemen, three linebackers, four DBs? Or are they going to put sub out there, which means take a linebacker off the field and bring a DB in? And then as a play caller and as an offensive staff, we know how to attack it to use our strengths. You know, once again, we are an aggressive, attacking, fearless offense where we want to put our players in a position to be successful and create explosive plays.
Hey, Frank, one quick question for me before we let you go. On game day, how would you describe your demeanor? Are you out of your mind? Are you calm, cool, and collected?
No, cool and calm, man.
I'm sensing that you are going ballistic on game day. That's what I'm thinking.
And honestly, that is a great question, Mark. Game day is when you're at your best in terms of being cool and calm, thinking clearly. That's why I like calling a game from the box. The press box is the best place to call the game because you're in a great environment away from the emotions of the game. Now, Sunday through Friday, you're coaching details and you're demanding. And it's very important. We're demanding. We're not demeaning. But on game day, when the players cross that white line, it is all about those guys playing together and being their best. So, for instance, you know, there's times I won't even talk to the quarterback between series if everything's going good because I trust our preparation throughout the week that they don't need to constantly hear Coach Cignetti in their ear. Now, we talk about it all the time. We're going to play one play at a time. There's no such thing as perfect. There's no such thing as perfect in life. If we throw an interception, basically what I tell them is, it's not your first one, it won't be your last one, but I do want to know, hey, what do you see? Yeah. You know, and that's the key to coaching quarterbacks other than really coaching the fundamentals, the techniques, the pass game reads, the pocket movements. But what made them make those decisions? You know, so you really want to ask, hey, what do you see? So you can kind of get inside their mind. On game day, I'll tell you guys, if you ever get a chance to sit in the box with us, we have fun up there. Nice. And the bottom line is we want to put our players in a position to be successful on game day, and that's where we got to be our best as coaches, staying cool, staying calm, and just dialing it up.
Hey, let me tell you something. Wes is busy calling games, but just give me a call. I'd love to hang out there. I'll bring some hot dogs, too. I'll feed you.
Hey, we love hot dogs up there, man.
All right. Hey, Frank, thanks. Be well, okay? We'll see you this fall. Frank Cignetti Jr. is the offensive coordinator at Boston College. Appreciate the time. You bet.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
And the Heels come out of one tunnel in the baby blue. Lane Stadium will be absolutely bonkers because it will be shoulder to shoulder, jumping, hopping, skipping, raising you know what. And here are the boys come through the tunnel. And with that said, coming through our tunnel for the very first time, there's the head coach, Justin Fuente. Fun with Foo. We're going to do it right now. Coach, first of all, it's a pleasure having you on Packer and Durham.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm having a little hard time hearing you guys. But I appreciate you having me on.
Look out.
We got to get that straight
Okay.
Now.
Well, we got to get that worked out. We got to get Blacksburg taken care of. How many times since the schedule was announced have you been asked about September 3rd and North Carolina in game one?
Well, I just keep thinking about finally getting the Hokie Nation back together. Our home field, our game day environment is known across the country. And we missed it last year. And it's a cool opportunity for us to all come back together on national television against a quality opponent and fellowship.
Coach, how about the fact that it's an opener? And again, if we're going to go ahead and say, guess what? Hokies are going to win the Coastal. You know you're going to have to take care of business against teams like North Carolina, Miami, and the rest of them. But how about the importance of right out of the gate? I mean, that is a monster game. I know you're going to look big picture, and everybody talks about just the first game. But this one is more than, I think, than just a singular game. You agree with that?
I'm sorry, guys. All I can hear is your producer in my ear. I can't hear you all.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll get that fixed.
We'll see if we can get that fixed.
There we go.
Hang on.
All right.
All right.
Now we're good. Okay.
She sounds like a very nice woman.
Oh, that's Meg.
She was coaching you all through it all. But I couldn't hear. I'm sure you guys are asking me about North Carolina Open at North Carolina.
Okay, yeah. We'll rephrase the question.
I kind of limped.
Yeah, we did.
I limped through the first question just trying to guess at what you guys were talking about.
Okay, all right.
Fire away.
We'll rephrase. The question number two is this. It's one thing to have an opener. But the fact that it's North Carolina and a Coastal rival, I know that's grabbed everybody's attention in the offseason, but do you like the fact that right out of the gate you have a game of such importance?
I do. And we knew a couple years ago with the ACC Network coming on board that we were going to play more conference games, particularly early in the season or game one. You know, it was kind of part of the deal. I think we all knew and accepted that. I'm excited that it's at home. You know, that was my biggest deal. I just think, you know, obviously North Carolina is a very capable opponent, but for us to have it at home, I think is a remarkable opportunity for our fans and our players. So I'm all for it. I enjoy playing big games out of the gate. I mean, would we all love to go scrimmage somebody and then play a game? Sure, but that's just not the world we're living in right now. So. We're excited about it.
In essence, your football team got a lot of answers in a very difficult year last season. You got a lot of things done. I mean, I remember talking to you during the course of the season. You guys are getting ready to play Louisville, and you're still, with injuries and quarterback play and all sorts of other things. Now you're to a point where it seems like you've got a bit of a personality going into August. There's not as much discovery needing to occur. How important do you think that is? How big a factor is it to come through all that chaos a year ago and now have not just the clarity of the way you're going to do it, but who you're going to do it with, I guess?
No, that's a huge part of it. I mean, just returning experienced, good players, really to create our identity in all three phases of the game. Certainly every year you lose guys in those three phases, but we've got a large number of guys coming back that – understand what we're trying to get accomplished. I feel as good as I've ever felt about the run game in terms of what we're trying to get accomplished schematically. And we made strides on the defensive side of the ball, and certainly through the spring, those 15 practices, uninterrupted, 15 uninterrupted practices were huge for our development, and we'll need a great fall camp. But I feel much better about just the guys returning and their hunger level and their ability to understand what we're trying to get done.
Coach, I want to go on the defense a second because last year was a weird year. We talked about COVID, the pandemic, schedule. There was nothing that was consistent last year, not to mention new defensive coordinator and everything else. I mean, it couldn't have been a worse storm as far as just trying to piece all that stuff together. You talked about making some strides and improvements on that side, but what needs to take place in 21 to get Virginia Tech football defensively back to where we expect to see you guys just wrecking opponents left and right?
Well, I mean, a lot of things compared to last year. I mean, we didn't play defense the way we should or certainly the way we can. And there's a myriad of reasons for that. There's no reason for me to get on here and talk about it. The bottom line is it's up to us to get that fixed, and it's going to start with the run game. I mean, we've got to do a great job understanding our fits and how that whole thing, all 11, work together. And then also find a way to pressure the quarterback to get him off his spot and not let him stand back there. But the recipe to playing great defense, hasn't really changed. You don't allow people to run the football, make them one dimensional. And that's where we've got to find ourselves this fall.
interesting, too, because you lose a guy like Khalil Herbert, who came in and certainly gave you a lift in the run game. But you get Blackshear back. Braxton Burmeister, a lot of experience at quarterback last year, good and bad. Those are all things that he can process. Dax Holyfield on defense is as big a piece of where your success is going to be as anybody else there, Justin?
Well, I think so. I think the biggest thing for Dax is he's moving to his natural position. You know, we've had him into the boundary because Rayshard Ashby has been at the field linebacker, the Mike linebacker, for the last several years and played at a really high level. And, you know, the advent of being able to move Dax to the true Mike linebacker and having Alan Tisdale, who's in the middle of having a really good – or had a really good spring and is in the middle of having a really good fall – who showed flashes at the boundary linebacker position last year, step up and really at least show flashes of being able to play at a high level in that natural position, I think is going to help both of them be better players and ultimately help our defense.
Coach, I know it's cool getting potential student-athletes back on campus from a recruiting perspective because since they've been back, are folks checking you out for the first time? The renovated weight room, I know you're thrilled about, and the performance center. There's a lot of cool things being built right now for football and really across the campus.
No, we've got a lot of great things going on. I've had more fun this June than I've had in a long time getting these families and these kids back on campus while simultaneously running our camps. It's been a lot of fun, and we've got a lot of stuff to show off. You know, when you have new things that have been being built during a pandemic and nobody can come see them, you're just so anxious to show them off between our new weight room or our performance center. We've got a brand new dorm opening up on campus. It's going to be available to our student athletes. It'll be as good or better than anybody in the country. We're still building stuff. We got our players lounge. It's under construction right now. They'll be ready to go by the first of the season. So it's fun to get everybody back, but it's really cool to get people back and be able to show off what you've been up to during the pandemic.
All right. Now, you know from time to time that you're our favorite on this show for a lot of reasons. Packer adores the fact – I don't say he likes it. He adores the fact that you absolutely will not tell anybody anything when it comes to a decision process like last year at quarterback.
Love it.
I mean, absolutely wishes everybody took Justin Fuente's tact when naming starters, right, Pac? Is that fair?
Yeah, and again, you're going to get mad at me saying this, Coach, but I enjoy and disdain isn't the right word, but I live for your press conferences because you kind of remind me of Belichick a little bit in the sense that my goal is to make sure I tell you nothing, and I really respect that. I do, and I love the fact no matter what the question is, that's why I have fun with your press conferences and do a terrible impersonation of you, but that's why I love the fact that you just give me what's the next question? Quarterback. You want to know my quarterback? I'll tell you. My quarterback, you'll find out Saturday. How about that? You like that? I just love the fact you tell me nothing. I live for your press conferences every football season. They're my favorite. They're my favorite.
Well, first of all, there's a lot to unpack here. I'm honored to have an impersonation. That's the first one ever, and I mean, I'm honored. I feel like we've made it now. We've reached another level in our relationship.
That's exactly right.
I appreciate you recognizing the fact that I try to always tell the truth and not give any information at the same time.
Absolutely.
As opposed to lying, it's the truthful, but also nothing.
Right. Right.
So, always had this feeling that during the week. Because I know what I do as a coach. During the week, I feel like I'm talking to the other coach.
Right.
Like, what would I tell the opposing coach? Nothing. I would tell him nothing.
Right.
And so I respect that. I spend my afternoons on Tuesday thumbing through the opposing coach's press conference to see if I can glean any information. So at least the other coaches probably feel the same way that you do, I guess.
I respect that. Believe me, right. I respect that approach 1,000,000,000%. I really do. I do. Because I'd be the same way if I was a coach. I'd do exactly the same thing.
All right, we're going to close here with this. This was out on Twitter, and I got to tell you, you're playing right to the Packer and Durham wheelhouse on this.
Oh, this is sweet.
You want to tell us about grilling with Foo? Because this looks like Packers kind of deal here.
Yes, sir. Coach. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get a belly like this overnight. Like, you have to work on that.
Work at it. Yeah.
And so basically I'm all in on that. Like, and I prefer to go low and slow. Like, whatever we can cook that takes the longest, I'm in on. But we had some recruits, we had a little picnic, and one of the recruiting guys said, "Would you mind getting on the grill and cooking some burgers and stuff?" And me, the strength coach, and I, Coach Hilgart, we jumped on there and went to work and tried to show off some skills there.
I like it. I like everything there about that. Coach, right. It's been long overdue, but we are glad to have you on the program. We look forward to seeing you next month here in Charlotte for the kickoff.
I'm looking forward to it too, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on. You guys do awesome work. I'm a huge fan, and I look forward to seeing you guys in person soon.
You got it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Fun show today. A bunch of guys making their debuts here within the last half an hour. Frank Cignetti, terrific. And, of course, my favorite press conference guy, Justin Fuente, beard and all. Yeah. Grilling, chilling. Got all kinds of new facilities on campus. Beard. Talked about a gut on the grill. Ready for some football, defense, enter Sandman. If you're a Hokie fan, you are going to be. I'm telling you, that Friday night game, I've said this before, Wes, there's a lot of incredibly high-profile games that are getting hyped like nobody's business. But that North Carolina and Virginia Tech game will fly underneath the quote-unquote national radar. But I'm telling you, that is a humongous game for both of them. Because North Carolina's getting a ton of preseason love. The bounce back for the Hokies, and that crowd Friday night at Lane Stadium, back for the first time, and you could even hear it with what Coach was talking about. Man, you talking about getting lathered up and ready to go. Lane Stadium on a Friday night with light blue coming in there, probably top 10 team, top 15, worst case scenario. It'll be go time in Blacksburg now. No joke.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. Thanks to Coach Fuente. Looking forward to many more appearances from him as we get ready to go to the fall. And next July, of course, as we told you going to break, we'll get everybody across the ACC Network platform. Couple of notes here to pass along. Estela Perez Somariba of the University of Miami, tennis, who has been with us before.
Great.
Their women's tennis team yesterday officially named the 2021 ITA National Player of the Year. Good for you, Estela. Delightful to visit with her a year ago, Pac.
Yep.
Tell you what, some kind of talent now.
Great talent, and ironically, lost the individual championship this year to a freshman from the University of Virginia, right? Emma Navarro.
Yep.
So, again,
the
talent level in this league is awesome when it comes to tennis.
Emma Navarro, by the way, is the ITA National Rookie of the Year. So how about that sweep for the Atlantic Coast Conference?
Yeah, 1-2. And they are good. Really good.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You betcha. Emma, congratulations to both Estela and Emma.
And Emma will celebrate that award with Major Tom, who's become a dog favorite amongst the fans.
That's right.
Major Tom, doing great. Yeah. Dad's dog that got all kinds of exposure on the show when she was with us a couple weeks ago. So congratulations to both of them. They are wonderful young ladies and great, great student-athletes.
It is a day off, by the way, for the ACC out in Omaha. Virginia will play Texas tomorrow night in an elimination game. NC State does not play till Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock against the loser of the ball game tonight featuring Stanford and Vanderbilt. So just to kind of keep you updated on the schedule out there. Tomorrow on this program, Wake Forest football coach Dave Clawson among our guests. Today was top 10 Packer and Durham strong in terms of guests, by the way.
Well, Justin Fuente was talking about his game on the grill. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Clawson may be head coach / foodie number one in this league. Could very well be number one. I'm hard pressed to believe anybody that can knock him off that perch. He is one of our, at least for me, because I'm a food nut. He is a food. I can't wait to find out. Obviously, we'll talk about his football team, but he, I guarantee you, Dave Clawson tomorrow will have some kind of restaurant or food that he's been messing with that will, as a recommendation. That's why I always love when Dave's on the show with us. He does it every time, and it's always good. Always good. Yep.
No doubt about that. We look forward to the visit tomorrow at 8:45. Thanks to Heather Denich, Danny Graves, Elliot Avent, Frank Signetti Jr., by the way, fantastic. Enjoyed his debut with us. And, of course, Virginia Tech head football coach Justin Fuente.
And don't forget about the boss to the big, who sent Aaron Katzman, sent us the ACC Genuine Omaha 2021 Louisville Slugger, which is powerized. Yeah. And I told you, I kind of felt like Jalen Rose, man. This is what, you know, I turned that show on the other day, and Jalen had a baseball bat. And I was like, man, what's he doing? And now, you know, you get one of these bad boys in your hand. I kind of understand what Jalen Rose is doing. You kind of feel like you got something going on when you got the bat over your shoulder doing a radio show or a television show. So this is in tribute to Jalen Rose. I know it's not. I know Jalen's got nothing to do with the ACC other than calling timeouts and losing in championship games. But other than that, we're going to give a little shout-out to Jalen Rose on that.
Yeah.
Right? How about that?
You're going to use that bat? How's that bat going to be? You can't put it back in the box because Fuller will take it as a chew toy.
No, I got to keep it above the ground. I'm telling you, if I leave this on the ground, I will come back and half of it will be swallowed by Brother Fuller down here at my feet.
Yeah.
He's waiting for it, too.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.